It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Neil Conan is back Monday. This week, Italy's right-wing government launched a controversial program to fingerprint all of the roughly 170,000 ethnic Roma residents, better known as gypsies. The government's anti-immigrant interior minister blames the gypsy community for a recent spate of rapes and thefts. The decision comes on the heels of a spate of hate crimes in Italy, and there are signs of anti-immigrant anxiety elsewhere in Europe. This hour, we'll speak with NPR senior Europe correspondent Silvia Pagioli. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. It's good to be here.
And as always, we want to hear from you, especially Europeans or folks who've recently been there. Is Europe becoming more hostile towards immigrants? Our number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And our blog is npr.org/blog of the nation. Silvia, describe for us why exactly the Italian government wants to fingerprint all of its gypsy Roma residents.
Well, about a month ago, actually a few weeks ago, the Interior Minister Roberto Maroni of the Northern League made the announcement. He said that they wanted to carry out a census of all the Roma in Italy by fingerprinting everyone, including children, as you said. Now, the reason is that Italy is rather unique in all of Europe. It's been criticized repeatedly by human rights groups as the only country in Europe to have a systematic, publicly organized network of ghetto camps, which effectively deprive the Roma of the possibility of integrating into Italian life. Well, the Roma, actually in Italy, they're called nomads. And the Italians say, well, if they're nomads, they don't want to settle down, and therefore they live in camps. There are many are official camps, and then there are many, many more what they call illegal camps. And they're mainly on the outskirts of the big cities, Milan, Rome, and Naples in particular. And when they hear criticism, the Italians will just say, well, they're nomads, and therefore they want to live in camps. And I think that's a rather questionable assertion, because in most parts of Europe, they live in houses, in homes, and in apartments. But in any case, there has been this there's been a rising hysteria of anti-gypsy feeling.
It's and anti-immigrant feeling as well, I understand, right?
Anti-immigrant generally, but the fact is that many, many of the Roma in Italy are Italian citizens. Mm-hmm. They're members of communities that arrived here centuries ago. And in fact, what is interesting, what happened today, the European Parliament in Strasbourg, a majority voted a resolution in calling the government decision to fingerprint the Roma a clear act of racial discrimination.
A non-binding resolution.
It's a non-binding resolution, but it has a certain amount of pressure. And I think today the Interior Minister Roberto Maroni began to feel that pressure. He had a press conference. Sorry.
No, go on.
He had a press conference here together with the foreign minister, Franco Frattini. They lashed out at the parliament resolution, saying it's one of the ugliest chapters in EU history. And they denied that the fingerprinting process in any way discriminates against the Roma. But for the first time, he switched gears. He had originally said that Maroni had said that the measure is aimed at ensuring security and curbing crime. Today, he all of a sudden said it was a humanitarian question. It is to protect Roma children, to help identify them by name and help them go to school and live a dignified life.
We're going to talk more and broaden the conversation out over the course of the hour to Europe in general. But we want to stick with Italy for a moment because of this program that understandably has surprised human rights monitors in Europe. And Silvia, it comes 70 years to the month when Mussolini introduced racial laws that led ultimately to the to removing the citizenship of Italy's Jewish population. Is there outrage in Italy over this decision?
Absolutely. There is a wide outrage. Several Jewish leaders were among the first to speak out. They said chief rabbi of Rome, Riccardo Di Segni, said it's an alarming sign of racism and a horrific reminder exactly of those anti-Semitic laws you talked about. And in fact, on Monday, a group of several thousands of Romans responded to his appeal, and they gathered to give their fingerprints to the interior minister. industry in protest against what they called an act of discrimination and persecution. Mm. One woman showed me two certificates. One was very old. It was from when she was 3 years old in the 1940s, and it identified her as a member of the Jewish race. The other one was very new. It was an official document identifying a Roma man living in a camp, and it listed his religion as Orthodox. And this woman was indignant over the return of identification by ethnicity and religion.
Mm-hmm. Sylvia, we should mention you have covered Europe since the late 60s. And you said something recently that struck me, that the anti-immigrant sentiment that you feel, the atmosphere you're feeling in parts of Europe, is something you haven't experienced before.
No, absolutely not. And it's spreading, and it's spreading in areas where even, there have been sort of politically correct and countries that were always kind of poster childs for as welcoming for immigrants, multicultural countries like the Scandinavian countries. And I was in Denmark in particular, where there's been a tremendous backlash against the arrival of immigrants there. It was always a haven of solidarity and liberalism, and the country was very much shocked, for example, over the reaction in the Muslim world over the Mohammed cartoons. And Danes began to see a large number of Muslim immigrants as a threat to their national identity, and very, very tough anti-immigration law has been passed in Denmark. Mm-hmm. And you have this thing, you feel this everywhere, in Sweden also, and in the Netherlands, another country that has undergone a really almost 180-degree shift from very, very multi-culti, as they say, to very tough on immigrants. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sylvia, many of our listeners would like to talk to you, and Mariano is on the line from Reno, Nevada. Mariano, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
And Mariano, where are you from?
I am originally from Vicenza, which is a city in the northern Italy, and now I live in Reno, Nevada.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, you're on the air. Welcome.
Well, my point is that I have got some very specific experiences with Roms, or Zingari, that's the name that is normally used in Italy. The point is that most of these people actually refuse to integrate into the society. The kids are going to school, but then the parents, they do not want to go out of those camps because the camps are free. They don't pay anything. They don't pay rent. They don't pay electricity, utilities, anything. Mm-hmm. The moment that the city, the country, offers them a place to stay, a house to stay, which, of course, you are supposed to pay something for staying somewhere, they just don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I have a specific direct experience on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sylvia?
They say that it's their lifestyle that asks them to go around and to be free and to not having to pay for where they are, where they live.
Mariano, let's hear our correspondent Sylvia Pagioli. Sylvia, fair point. I mean, many of the Roma, the Gypsy community, many of them do not want to integrate, is his point.
Well, definitely true. At the same time, I don't know how many places there are in Italy where they have been offered apartments, because there's been a big reaction whenever there's talk about that, where Italians start protesting and say no, public housing, low cost housing should be for Italians first, and since there is a dearth of housing. In any case, it's basically also it's like a vicious cycle of prejudice here, though, you know, because if authority in a society continues to call them nomads, it's very hard, and they will, you know, it's hard for them to get housing, hard for them to get work. Many of them certainly are also illegal immigrants, and part of this whole crackdown has to do with the fact that Italy is trying to crack down against illegal immigrants. There's something like almost 4 million legal immigrants and about 600,000 illegal immigrants, and hundreds arrive every day. And certainly one of the things is many of them are, many of the Roma in Italy come from Eastern Europe. First, they came with the breakup of Yugoslavia, and then many came from Romania once Romania entered the European Union, when it was easier for many Romanian citizens to come. But, you know, there is a tremendous amount of prejudice here. Mm. And what it is that, you know, also politicians have not helped. They've certainly You know, it's almost like the leader of a radical party and a human rights activist, Emma Bonino, said that politicians have made anti-Roma racism respectable for the first time. For instance, the leader of the Northern League, immediately after that attack on the gypsy camp, the Roma camp in Naples, you mentioned the one last May, he said, people do what the political class is not able to do. Now, remarks like that certainly do not also help, I think, integrate the Roma people into the society.
Mariano, thanks for the call. And joining us now, I'd like to bring in Glyn Ford. Glyn Ford is a member of the European Parliament for the Labour Party in Britain. Glyn Ford, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
I just wanted to sort of raise a few points here. The members of the European Union have recently agreed in principle to expel illegal immigrants from European soil by 2012. In Switzerland, voters will decide whether to ban the construction of minarets. In Germany, we see the head of the country's deputy head of the country's ruling party publicly declaring that the country should not be one of immigration. Briefly, and we're going to take a break after that. Are these fair points? I mean, is Europe really a place of immigration?
Well, I mean, Europe, there's a lot of internal movement. I mean, your correspondent talked about the fact that large number of Roma have actually come from Romania to Italy. They're part of the European Union. Part of the European Union regulations allow the free movement of goods, services, capital and people. The majority of these Roma are in Italy perfectly legally, and many Italians are very happy buying holiday homes in Romania. These are not illegal immigrants. These are legal migrants, and the treatment of by the Italian authorities is little short of scandalous. If you substitute the word Jew for Roma in terms of what's been done, we're exactly back where we were 70 years ago. But of course, the Italian authorities know where they're going. One of the leading figures, Gianfranco Fini, in the new Italian government, comes from a party that's a direct descendant of Mussolini's fascist party. So it's hardly surprising that they're acting like fascists when that's where they come from.
We'll continue the conversation in just a moment. We're speaking with Glyn Ford. He's a member of the European Parliament and Britain's Labour Party, and also Sylvia Pagioli, our senior Europe correspondent. She's in Rome, talking about the recent anti-immigrant measures in Italy and other parts of Europe. If you're from the continent or have been there recently, did you see signs of xenophobia or not? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. You can also drop us an email, talk@npr.org. I'm Guy Raz. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Guy Raz in Washington, D.C. In many parts of Europe, critics warn of a growing xenophobia. As we've heard, Italy is dealing with a spate of anti-Gypsy sentiment. Across the continent, in Ukraine, a new report from Amnesty International points to a, quote, alarming rise in racial attacks. Legislation in France, Switzerland, and other countries would limit the cultural expression of some foreign residents. If you live in Europe or have recently been there, is Europe becoming more hostile toward immigrants? 800-989-8255, our email address, talk@npr.org, and you can share your stories with us at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Our guests, Sylvia Pagioli, NPR senior Europe correspondent, and Glyn Ford, a member of the European Parliament with Britain's Labour Party. Glyn Ford, has anti-immigrant sentiment sort of become mainstream on the continent of Europe?
It's certainly edging that way. I don't want to exaggerate the problem, but certainly in a large number of member states of the European Union, whether it's in France, led by Jean-Marie Le Pen, a man who believes that the Americans built the gas chambers in the Buchenwald concentration camp after the war, and who came second in the presidential elections before last, of course, knocking out in the first round the socialist candidate Lionel Jospin. I mean, he's leading a vicious anti-immigrant campaign. In Austria, you had Jörg Haider, a man who believed that Hitler's employment policies were better than those of the socialist government, who then went into coalition with the Conservative Party. In Italy, you now have Gianfranco Fini's Alleanza Nazionale, used to be the Movimento Sociale Italiano, as I said, a direct descendant of Mussolini's fascist party. He's now in power. He's the Deputy Prime Minister, so it's hardly surprising that fascists introduce fascist policies. And in the United Kingdom for the first time, I don't exempt my own country, in the recent elections for the Greater London Assembly, a member of our British National Party, the equivalent of the French National Front, actually got elected to the Greater London Assembly for the first time. And they're hoping to win seats in next year's European elections. So we have a rising tide of racism and fascism sweeping across the European Union.
That's not an exaggeration. I mean, of course, here we are in the United States. We have plenty of our own problems. Are we making too much out of this?
I mean, you need to get in balance. There is certainly a problem that needs to be addressed. We're not about to be, Europe's not about to be conquered by stormtroopers. But you've got a situation where people are proposing legislation mm-hmm. that is an echo of what came in 70 years ago at the beginning of the fascist and Nazi eras. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to be stand up and be counted. And I was delighted today in the European Parliament to help vote through the resolution that so annoyed the Italian Prime Minister. And mm-hmm. actually was one of 120 MEPs who also gave my fingerprints to the Italian government as a symbol of our rejection of their policies.
Mm-hmm. Carol is on the line with us from Grayton, California. Carol, welcome.
Hi. Hello?
Hi, welcome. Hello. You're on the air.
Great. My husband, who is a Rom from Kosovo, and I founded a nonprofit organization called Voice of Roma, and we have relatives in Italy. My in-laws live in the Florence area and lived for decades in a ghetto camp on the outskirts of Florence. And I'm calling primarily to respond to the first caller's comments about Roma in Italy not wanting to be integrated and refusing housing and so on. And I think that's a very racist and false mm-hmm. characterization. I know my own family members and many Roma who've lived for decades in the Florence area have struggled to integrate in a variety of ways. And children in schools are discriminated against. It's not easy to learn the language, to adapt and be living in a camp at the same time. And the racism is just very prevalent.
Sylvia Pajoli, do you find that members of the Roma community do want to integrate?
Well, no, you know, just this afternoon, after I heard Interior Minister's Maroni's press conference, I went to visit an assembly here in Rome. They were representatives of the Roma and Sinti communities and various other nomad communities from all over Italy. They came, and they were both Italians and foreigners. But I certainly spoke to many of them are Italians, and some of these have been here for 300-400 years. Their communities, they have for traditionally been running merry-go-rounds for little amusement parks. This is an old, ancient one of the ancient jobs that the Roma have done, and they're terrified. The Italians themselves are very terrified because they feel they are also being targeted. And to give you I think they have reason to. Just a few weeks ago, Italy's highest appeal court overturned the conviction of the mayor of Verona and four other Northern League members for racially discriminatory propaganda. They had written a petition calling for the demolition of all Roma camps because they claim wherever there are Roma, there are robberies. Now, the appeal court ruling basically said it's acceptable to brand all Roma as thieves. So I think all Roma have reason then to be rather nervous about this sentiment. I think the sense here is, you're right, this is not 1933, this is not 1938 Europe again, but what there is an amazing, amazing lack of sensitivity. And I think at the political level, and there's a lot of ignorance throughout Europe. And I think what is missing here is any kind of effort to educate people and to also help politicians understand that, you know, this kind of language and these kind of rulings are just going to foment, are just going to make things much, much worse and much worse for immigrants here.
Carol, thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Glenn Ford, I know you've got to leave shortly, but before you do, I wanted to ask you about Switzerland. The party in power, which was elected, of course, Switzerland not a member of the European Union, but the party in power of the Swiss People's Party elected back in November, part of their campaign were posters showing white sheep kicking a black sheep off a field painted in the colors of the Swiss flag. This is now the party in power there. And, of course, in Italy, in the recent election, a picture of a Native American dressed in a headdress, and the message was, look what happened when we allowed immigrants into our country. Is it becoming uglier, in a sense, in your view?
I think it is. As I said, we need to be careful not to exaggerate, but certainly it's very unpleasant being an immigrant in many parts of the European Union these days, particularly if you're from outside the Union, particularly if you're black or if you're Muslim.
And I understand that the largest Jewish organization in Germany calls parts of eastern Germany no-go areas for foreigners.
Absolutely. The problem with with neo-Nazis in former East Germany is particularly acute. But let's be frank, I mean, there are some politicians who know not what they do, but there are other politicians who are doing this very deliberately to actually promote their own political careers and their own, what they believe is their own route to power. So this is not ignorant politicians on all occasions doing this. Members of the Italian Alleanza Nazionale, the Northern League, know exactly what they're doing. One of my colleagues in the European Parliament, has just left to go to the Italian Parliament, Alessandra Mussolini. Yes, the granddaughter. Mm-hmm. She's been replaced in the European Parliament by Mr. Roberto Fiore, a man who was convicted of being involved in the Bologna bombing when 80 people died and nearly 200 were injured. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are the kind of people who are now representing Italy in the European Parliament and in the Italian Parliament.
Glenn Ford, before you go, let me ask you one question that I asked you in a sense earlier, but let me rephrase it. The United States is a country of immigration, and it has been since, of course, the 17th century. Europe doesn't have that kind of tradition. Isn't it fair to make the argument that Europe shouldn't be a continent of foreign immigration because it's not part of its historical character?
Well, I mean, we're talking about internal migration, which is something that the United States has. We formed a European Union, and fine, Switzerland's chosen not to be in it, but the European Union allows the free movement of goods, services, capital, and people.
But there are people coming outside of the European Union as well.
Well, yes, but I mean, many of the people we're talking about in the Italian situation are the Roma. The large majority of Roma are either Italian or from Romania, which is part of the European
Union. But I understand there are 8 million illegal immigrants in Europe today.
Well, I mean, there's less of them than there used to be because, of course, we've just enlarged the European Union to include now going from 15 to 27 countries. So all the illegal Poles and the Romanians and the Bulgarians are now legal. So the number of illegal immigrants has dropped because of the decision by the politicians, including many of the politicians now in power in Italy. But there is a problem with illegal immigrants, and one is not against tackling the problem of illegal immigrants. But the Jewish population, much of the Muslim population, the Roma population, are not illegal immigrants. They're absolutely legal and are being discriminated against and racist language, and worse, racial attacks, in some cases racial murder, directed against them and their community.
But can Europe start to, or should Europe start to think about itself as an immigrant society, like the United States thinks of itself?
Well, I mean, I think we all have to. I mean, in the sense that, of course, there are massive movements around the world. It used to be very difficult to travel to Europe, or for that matter, the United States. The United States welcome people, but now you go to an airport and get on a plane. You're there in hours.
Glenn Ford is a member of the European Parliament for the Labour Party of Britain. He spoke to us on the phone from Brussels. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Joining us now is Jacob van Weizsäcker. He's a research fellow at Bruegel. It's an economic policy think tank in Brussels, Belgium. He wrote an op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal called Europe and the Huddled Masses. He joins us on the line from his office in Belgium. And, of course, Sylvia Pagioli is with us as well. Welcome to the program, Jacob.
Yes, thanks for inviting me.
In your op-ed, you criticize the European Union's new policy on immigration, a policy that would essentially expel all illegal immigrants by 2012. Why do you criticize it?
Well, it doesn't go so far as to expel all illegal immigrants by 2012. There would be no way just in the U.S. that this would be feasible. I'm stopping short of introducing a police state, which nobody wants on either side of the Atlantic. But the problem is that the immigration pact that was recently discussed in Cannes by EU interior ministers is a little bit one-sided. It puts a little bit too much emphasis on the question, how can we reinforce our borders, reinforce controls, and too little emphasis on the question, how can we get smart about welcoming those immigrants who either we need because they're high-skilled immigrants, they bring important talent to us, or who need our help because they're refugees, or who made it through the fences and are here now, and there's just realistically, it's not an option to expel them all, so we better make sure we welcome that and welcome them. And coordinating at the European level on those issues is important, and we need to do more of it.
Is there an immigrant problem in Europe, in your view, Jacob von Weizsäcker?
Well, I wouldn't call it an immigrant problem, but just as you have a discussion in the U.S. faced with many million illegal immigrants or irregular immigrants, we have a discussion in Europe. In the U.S., you have a lot of immigration from Mexico. In Europe, you have a lot of immigration from Eastern Europe and Northern Africa, and not all of it is legal. And there is a major challenge politically of how to tackle that.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's take a call. Kyle is on the line with us from Boise, Idaho. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Yes, actually, I lived in France from 1994 to 2000, and I'm very familiar with some of the problems that you discussed. There are two separate problems, the Roma or the Gypsies. Those are populations from Europe that are moving from one country to another, and that's completely different from another immigration that's from North Africa. I am originally from North Africa, from Morocco, and I can tell you that I have faced some sort of discrimination when I was in France, but I wouldn't blame that neither on the French government or on the French people. The French government had very generous policies toward immigrants. I've done my education in French universities completely at the French taxpayer expense. I had all sorts of health coverage when I was a student there. I mean, it was great. The thing is, these are small countries we're talking about, and they're facing huge immigration pressure that, you know, their economical and cultural aspect that they cannot no longer take, you know, with this immigration.
Kyle, as a North African in France, did you find it more difficult to integrate than you found it to integrate here in the United States, where presumably you're now living?
Yes, I live in the United States. After living about 6 or 7 years in France, I decided that I no longer wanted to live under these circumstances. I really don't have no resentment. I don't blame France for anything because really they're doing all they can. I know it's the case in other European countries, whether it's Germany or Italy. It's just that they were basically welcoming these immigrants back in the 50s and the 60s when the economical situation allowed it. And then from the 70s and up, economy was not the same anymore. They were facing unemployment problems of their own. So they tried to stop the immigration, and they were not able anymore. Mm-hmm. Also, it poses, after the first and second, third generation of immigration, it poses some other cultural and religious problem. I am originally from Morocco, from a Muslim. I was born, you know, in a Muslim family, even though I don't practice. And I find it that sometimes it is not compatible. You know, the Muslim life is not compatible with the European societies. And then it causes problems and frictions.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, thanks so much for the call. Sylvia Pajoli, do you find that that you encounter this phenomenon, immigrants to Europe who then go to the United States and say, you know, I feel a lot more comfortable living in the U.S.?
Well, again, as you said earlier, of course, the United States is an immigration, starts as an immigration country, and continental Europe, most of Europe, is basically the whole modern Europe was based on the idea of the monoethnic state. And many wars were fought against other ethnicity, other nationalities, the sense of nation. I think the last caller made some very interesting points, and I think the issue of being certainly that immigration was welcome, certainly in countries, certainly like Germany, right after the war to help rebuild Europe after the World War II. And then they thought they called them Gastarbeiters in Germany, guest workers, in fact, thinking they would all go home. Most of them are of Turkish origin, Turks or Turkish origin. But the fact is they stay. Mm-hmm. And now there's a third generation. And this is where societies have simply, European societies, there are a lot of contradictions. There are a lot of complexities. The fact is that Europeans do need these immigrants now because there's this very low birth rate in most countries. France is the only country that has a little bit of a higher, has always had a pro-birth policy. The other countries have not. Italy has probably one of the lowest birth rates in the world. So you have this very contradictory situation where these immigrants are needed. And yet there's this tremendous difficulty with dealing with absorbing people of different cultures, and as your last caller said, particularly of different religion, the Muslim and Islamic religion. And this is where there's now many European societies are saying we want them. We're thinking more about integration and even assimilation because the whole multicultural model is seen as a failure.
It's
created separate societies.
Sylvia Pajoli is NPR senior Europe correspondent. Thanks for staying up to talk with us, Sylvia.
Thank you, Guy.
And Jacob van Wijsseker is a research fellow at Bruegel, an economic think tank in Brussels. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
I'm Guy Raz. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.